Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
The list of descendants of Noah's son Shem shows that Abraham was the ninth generation from Shem and the tenth from Noah. Noah had lived until Terah, Abram's father, was 128 years old. Shem then passed on the records kept since Adam's time to Terah, who added the next set of generation lists, an indication of who would be in the promised line of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In this way, the records of the patriarchs were protected.
Abram and his two brothers grew to full manhood. Abram's respect for God's word became stronger and more deeply rooted as he gained in years and experience. Of the three brothers, Haran was the first to get married, and in due course, his wife presented him with a fine boy whom they called Lot. Sometime later, Haran was taken ill. The sad day came when Haran died. Abram's brother Nahor also married, the name of his wife being Milcah. And the two brothers and their wives and their father Terah lived contentedly in the city of Ur for many years. And it came to pass when Abram was in his 70s that the Lord appeared unto him, saying,
Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Terah was a godly man in the first part of his life. However, in Joshua chapter 24, God gives an account of the tribes of Israel, which shows that Terah became an idol worshipper later in life. It's so important to remain true and loyal to the Lord all the days of our lives. There are many examples of people in the scriptures who start out well in a godly manner, but in the end, they let something else come between them and their devotion and respect of God. Abram may not have been Terah's eldest son, just as Shem wasn't Noah's eldest son. But out of respect for the sons who were godly leaders, their names are put first in the biblical accounts. Abram's two brothers, Nahor and Haran, both had cities named after them in the upper area of the Euphrates River Valley, located in present-day Syria. Both of these brothers were living with Terah in the very wicked city called Ur, which was located on the lower reaches of the Euphrates River at a time when Haran died. Haran had a son called Lot, and Abram took care of Lot for many years. Terah's family was not a normal family as we know a family these days. Terah had more than one wife, and this resulted in Abram's wife Sarai being his half-sister. Sarai was unable to have children. This piece of information was very significant, as it indicates that the new Hebrew nation God was going to establish through Abram could not come about by human or natural means. God was supernaturally going to bring forth a child from Sarai's body to establish a chosen people of God, Israel, when Sarai was well past her childbearing years. Nahor's wife was his niece Milcah, the daughter of Haran. Such close marriages were later forbidden in the law of Moses, but at this early stage after Noah's flood, they were not particularly dangerous from a genetic point of view. To preserve the purity of the patriarchal families at that time, such marriages were arranged to avoid the introduction of idolatry into godly homes. Sarai didn't give birth to a child in Ur or Haran, as her child of promise had to be born in the land of God's promise. In the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 7, A believer in Jesus called Stephen, who was later martyred for his Christian faith, gave a full explanation to the governing council of the day about his beliefs. He started with God's call to Abraham while he was still living in the land of Ur. When Abraham shared with his father and family of God's call to go to the land of Canaan, Terah seemed to then take charge and organize everything on Abraham's behalf. But Nahor, his other son, decided to remain in Ur. Terah gathered up his family, with the intention of going to Canaan as well, so he moved them all up the river valley before stopping at the city of Haran. Maybe Terah had some business interests of his dead son Haran to attend to there. We don't know, but in those times, families were more tied to the land than people are today. To leave one's country and relatives was a risky and dangerous undertaking. It meant giving up one's land and security. So Abraham lived in Ur, where the people worshipped the sun, moon, and man-made idols, until he heard a call from God to leave everything and go out to a place that God would show him. Taking their herds, flocks, and servants, Terah and Abraham moved to Haran. They stayed in Haran for quite some while before Terah died there at the early age of 205 years. The ages of the patriarchs were becoming significantly reduced as the water vapor canopy over the earth, which had protected everyone from the sun's radiation prior to Noah's flood, now no longer existed. This resulted in everyone aging at a faster rate. At the beginning of Genesis chapter 12, after Terah's death in Haran, God called Abraham to move on again. So, in obedience to God's call on his life, Abram, Sarai, and Lot all set out with the possessions that they'd gathered. Abram was 75 years old at the time. What a great faith Abraham had in God. In fact, there's nowhere in the Old Testament of a greater example of faith and obedience than what Abraham showed at this time. This principle of faith and discipleship still applies today. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, "Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." God had given Abraham huge promises of what his future would become, but before Abraham could obtain these promises, he first had to give up everything and go. By doing this, the Bible says that Abraham lived by faith and not by sight. When God calls us, he usually doesn't tell us where the destination is or what the journey will be like. If he did, we might be afraid to set out or even completely avoid God's plan for our lives. God simply wants us to trust him. He has surprises in store for us, but if we're in his will, these surprises will ultimately be for our good. Someone has said, our fears are never justified, but our faith in God's word always is. God promised that Abraham would be made into a great nation. This included the gift of land God already promised Abraham in the land of Canaan. Abraham's great nation would eventually become the nation of Israel, but in a larger spiritual sense, this nation has become a family of believers in Christ, which is the worldwide church. God also promised to bless Abraham and make his name great. This meant that God entered into a covenant or agreement with Abraham, whereby God would be on Abraham's side. Nations these days seem to be ignorant of God's words. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse. God put his own name on Abraham and his descendants. Even in these times, those who do evil things against Israel and the Jews can expect punishment from God. Christians who are alert to this truth watch to see what consequences arise, such as weather problems, often within 24 hours of provoking the Israelis. God the Father further promised to bless all the people on earth through Abram and his descendants. This promise came about when Abram's descendant, Jesus Christ, came to earth. The Bible says that all people who put their faith in Jesus can be blessed with a personal relationship with him and intimate guidance in every step of life. What is this intimate guidance that the Bible talks about? After being freed from a concentration camp toward the end of World War II, a prisoner known by the name of Corrie ten Boom returned to her native Holland, now known as the Netherlands, and recuperated. Her whole family had been punished for hiding Jewish people in their home in order to save their lives and send them away to other countries for protection until the war was over. Corrie and her sister Betsy were together in the same big room with hundreds of other women at a feared concentration camp. They had smuggled a Bible into the prison by God answering many of Corrie's specific prayers. The conditions of the concentration camp were worse than terrible, and all the women in Corrie's section suffered physical problems from the cold, poor food, poor sanitation, and poor sleep. Corrie was in her 50s while Betsy was older and weaker. Together, the sisters held group Bible studies in a corner with anyone who wanted to learn about the scriptures. The group grew so large that they had to divide the group up. Betsy was faithful to God until she grew so weak that she finally passed away in the camp. On an unexpected release from the camp due to an administration error, Corrie came to understand that God had further plans for her life. After the war, many Europeans wanted to go to America. Corrie believed the Lord wanted her to carry the gospel as a missionary to the United States. But it was impossible to get the necessary papers to travel there. So Corrie prayed to the Lord, "Lord, if it's your will that I go to America, then you must provide the necessary papers." Was this too hard for the Lord to do? Corrie continued to learn that God uses all of our problems as building materials for his miracles. Getting those necessary papers was a big lesson in Corrie learning to trust her God completely, fully depend on him, and obey his guidance. One day, as she waited for her turn to see an official in the immigration office, Corrie prayed silently, "Lord, I'm willing to go or stay. It's up to you." As Corrie waited, a long-lost cousin spoke to her and introduced to Corrie her new husband. He worked in the same building, and after she had explained why she wanted to go to America, the husband gave Corrie his phone number. Corrie's turn finally came to see the person in charge of the paperwork. But the man in charge had the reputation of refusing all applications for papers to go to America. But this man slipped out of the office for a few minutes to get a drink. While he was gone, his junior office worker took his place. That young man phoned the husband of Corrie's cousin, and Corrie got her papers approved. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now that Corrie had immigration papers, she next needed passage on board a ship to get there. She tried at one booking office and was told that if she put her name on a waiting list, she'd be contacted in about a year. Disappointed, Corrie went over in her mind the conviction that she had that God wanted her in America, and of that she was certain. As she thought about it, she glanced across the street in the center of the city. She read a sign, American Express Company. On making inquiries, Corrie found that she could sail the very next day if her papers were in order. They were, but she delayed going until the following week. In all these problems and more, did Corrie think that they were resolved by themselves or coincidence? No, not at all. Each problem helped her to grow stronger in her faith in God. And every person who places their faith in the Lord Jesus can live a similar life of full dependency on him, especially as they trust and obey God's word. Like Corrie, any person can learn to pray in their minds before everything else. Now, can you get that type of intimate guidance from God? If you want to, then firstly you need to have confidence that the Lord Jesus is God Almighty, powerful and loving. Next, you need to place your life in his forgiving hands, expecting that as you pray about all things, he will answer in his own good time and cause. What privileged people believers are in Christ. Even Abraham, with all his faith, didn't have the kind of close relationship with God that Jesus offers to all who live in the world today. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, "To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. It was by their faith that people of ancient times won God's approval." Let our faith reflect a personal and close relationship with our Lord and Creator and grow deeper as we walk with Jesus through the hardships and trials of life. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.